My name is Rick Taylor. I'm strategic consultant for AvePoint. And yes, as he said, the exits are clearly marked in the back in the event that you need to leave early.
All right, let's go ahead and get started. So why are we talking about hybrid today? Well, hybrid's obviously an important component of not only our SharePoint and Office 365 story, but as a Microsoft story as a whole. And if you think about what hybrid means, specifically in the space of partners, to put some context to the value in doing hybrid, is hybrid itself is something that 50% of large enterprises will be doing by the time we reach 2017, according to some studies. A majority of customers are already leveraging cloud for their applications, whether it's pilot or production apps. And you see that across ISVs such as AvePoint, who are leveraging cloud for a lot of their applications. We have our own models that we introduced with SharePoint most recently, the SharePoint framework, which takes a deep dependency on cloud in some particular cases, in CDN cases where you want to push parts from point A to point B. But it's an extremely big business, and it's an extremely big opportunity. Hybrid is such a big opportunity, and what's really driving hybrid is market growth. So again, if you think about the number of customers that are going to be implementing hybrid over the next year, it's a substantial number of customers. And if you think about IT spend, it's going to be cloud services at 45% by the time we get around 2020. And many of our partners are already realizing the opportunity that exists with hybrid itself. So looking at some of these hybrid budgets, think about your customer IT budget allocations, or if you're responsible or your allocated budget, most of the budget these days are going towards cloud services and hybrid services. And then a smaller fraction of the budget is being spent on on-prem services. And really the whole impetus of hybrid is to enable you to take advantage of Office 365 or any cloud service at a pace that makes most sense to you. Over the course of time, when we had first talked about hybrid, we really framed it around a conversation that started with migration. That was our old hybrid model starting in about 2013. And really what we focused on then was concepts such as federated search and a few other things. Late in 2013, we introduced Service Pack 1, so you could do OneDrive for Business, redirection to Office 365. But really, everything was driven by this desire to get you to migrate to Office 365. And for a variety of reasons, that may have not been a possibility for you. So the new way that we think about hybrid as of 12 to 18 months ago is hybrid shouldn't be about how we can bring your business to the cloud. It should be about how we can bring the cloud to your business, how we can give you hybrid capabilities that preclude data migration. And there's a reason for that too as well. If you think about the key scenarios that you deploy against today when you in the context of SharePoint, most customers choose either the traditional non-virtualized scenario or the private cloud scenario. So you're running Hyper-V on your own premises. So you're virtualizing on your own premises. And then on the further side of the scale, the public cloud is one of the slower rates of adoption. So really what hybrid tries to do is accommodate all these different scenarios, and we recognize that you need them for a variety of factors. On their traditional non-virtualized side, it could be compliance, whether that's corporate or regulatory. You may have a very large application size, so you have an enormous SharePoint farm that can't be virtualized, and in those cases, people choose that traditional non-virtualized model. And then you have your enterprise large mission-critical type workloads. Most people like to keep those on that traditional bare metal model. Moving to the center of the stack, you get to the same justifications for doing so. Why am I doing private cloud? Corporate and regulatory compliance. But my applications can be virtualized. My SharePoint infrastructure is in a state to which it can be virtualized. Maybe you're doing it because you just want to improve management. You want to be able to scale on demand or contract on demand. And then on the public cloud side, really the opportunity there is to take an idea and move it into a new application very quickly. In the context of SharePoint, that could mean taking advantages of services that differentiate us from other products that do content collaboration, services like the Microsoft Graph, the power of intelligence and insights that we bring into the OneDrive for Business experience that we enable through and surface through capabilities such as Delve, those differentiators, so you can really get to those very quickly by adopting public cloud very fast.
Now, there is one that we didn't put on the slide. Now, be honest, raise your hand. You haven't gone to the cloud because you're scared. We know you're out there. It's okay. We'll help you.
And that's actually a really good point. Now that Rick has turned this into a support group, and not a session, but there is some fear, there is some adversity to cloud for a variety of different reasons. Is my data secure? Am I turning over the keys to my teenage child? So there's a lot of things that you have to think about as you move to the cloud. One of the things that we really emphasize a lot with Office 365 is trust. We have the Office 365 Trust Center, and that's at the forefront of every decision we make inside of Office 365. So we've implemented services like Customer Lockbox. We implemented Fort Knox Encryption that we had talked about in the previous Ignite. So if you're in Chicago, you heard us talk about Fort Knox, the way that we shard content, and then we distribute that and encrypt it with unique keys. We're looking at things like BYOK to enable you to do a lot of that. So the cloud, in many cases, is actually more secure than what you could do on premises. And a great example of which is if you think about our Fort Knox security design, what happens is somebody uploads a document. We look at that document. We break it into equalized 64K chunks. We take each 64K chunk and we store it on a different storage array. We then encrypt each chunk with a unique encryption key. So basically, the file doesn't live as a monolithic entity inside of a single storage array. It lives as a bunch of 64K shards distributed across storage arrays, each secured by a unique key. And then even beyond that, the master itself is actually stored in a separate data center. So there's really no way to collectively come in and steal your data. You don't even have to worry about our op staff because somebody's going to notice a data center is missing. And that's about the only way that they're going to be able to take off.
And if you're looking for like an example of someone that you might be able to trust that has gone to the cloud that might be larger or more prevalent, the government, a couple, I'm not able to say which ones, but one is financial, and one is a major division of one of the cabinet members has actually taken his to the cloud. So even the government's there. Your money is out there. So if they trust it, I think it's pretty safe.
So what a hybrid application is designed to do is really, for those of you that do have some fear, uncertainty, and doubt, aka FUD, sure. The hybrid application is really designed to pull all of these things together. All of these deployment models and the variety of reasons that you're choosing one or another, the hybrid scenario is intended to be a fabric that can connect these things. So you can have cloud applications with on-premises data sources. Think in the context of business connectivity services. The gateway for SAP from Microsoft is one of the newer technologies that we've introduced. If you're familiar with Power Apps, we introduced a gateway for on-premises there as well. So hybrid comes in many, many different forms. Low latency, in many cases, hybrid enables you to throttle different types of latencies. One of the biggest concerns I always hear about is, I really want to move to Office 365, but connectivity is a concern of mine, and hybrid applications can help to a certain extent accommodate that because you can keep those business critical processes driven through SharePoint on premises while enabling the less critical processes to live in the cloud. So we've just got a couple of more of these businessy pitch deck slides before we get into the meat of the content. So if you think about those same three pillars and what they all mean, traditional non-virtualized environments, they're great. TCO is poor, both capital and operational expenditures. Why? Because you have to procure servers. They're not cheap. You have to deploy servers. You have to sustain servers. You have to manage servers. You have to power servers. Time to solution, a new deployment of SharePoint on bare metal takes a while. Because in most organizations, you want to QC the servers. You have to install the operating system. You have to hope that psconfig runs right the first time, and you can actually create a SharePoint farm. otherwise, you're starting over from the beginning. I wasn't responsible for that piece of SharePoint, so I can say that. So time to solution for your existing deployments. That's decent. If you have an existing deployment, you want to add another server. It doesn't take quite as long because you're just joining a member to a farm. Private cloud is significantly faster. in terms of its time for new solutions as well as existing solutions, because if you're virtualizing, that means you can templatize things. You can spin up very quickly. Is equally, you can spin down very quickly. And then the TCO and time to solution increase exponentially with public cloud, with Office 365. The TCO, the CapEx and operational expenditures, are extremely low. There's not a whole lot you need to do. There's the operational expenditures of managing the Office 365 service, but it's not the same as managing on-premises, because really what we're enabling you to do is configure the settings. We'll configure the service itself, search, and all of the other technologies you're familiar with. So the TCO is very good, best actually, with the public cloud. The time to solution is best because all you have to do is subscribe and go. And then the time to a solution for existing deployments, that's where things tend to slow down. So that's when you have to rationalize things again, because if you have an existing deployment, that infers that it's on premises, you need to bring it to the cloud, which means you need to migrate. So time to getting that solution there is a lot slower. Then you look at your application needs. What are my application needs? If you want to be able to scale on demand, you really don't want to do bare metal servers, because that means you're ordering hardware and you're plugging it in. And hopefully you're not ordering that hardware from Newegg, because you could say, yeah, I can get my memory quick. Sure, but then your TCO actually goes down quite a bit after you install it. Private cloud, it's a little bit better, but public cloud, Office 365, SharePoint Online is really the best for scaling on demand, because we do the hard work and the hard thinking about how to scale our service in order to facilitate great responsiveness for you. And if you look across the first quarter of this year, actually, and you can go to the Office 365 Trust Center and find the metrics. So looking at the first quarter, second quarter of this year, we averaged 99.98% uptime with the Office 365 service. That's almost unheard of with SharePoint. A lot of customers I talk to on a day-to-day basis are just happy if they can get to somewhere like 87.3% uptime with SharePoint, because they have to install updates, and updates incur downtime, unless you're running 2016, and then you don't have to worry about that. And the 2016 updates, they minimize downtime. In some cases, they completely eliminate downtime, because it's built on the same code base we use in Office 365. And we're obligated to keep the service alive for you, so as much as possible, we want to mitigate downtime. So on the hybrid side, we're driven by a set of principles that we call commons. So to make hybrid easy, you not only have to make it seamless for the users themselves, you have to make it seamless for the administrators as well. Because one of the things I've always said about users of SharePoint are creatures of habit. Users of Outlook are creatures of habit. How many people walk in each day and open up Exchange or Outlook very first thing you do? Check email. So the majority of people check email the very first thing, as you know, that they do in the beginning of the day. What if your organization came in one day and said, you know what, instead of using email, we're going to keep it around, but instead of using email, you're going to use this new social platform? It probably wouldn't be the first thing you check every day. Creature of habit, you want to use email. Context switching, that also doesn't work with users. Why doesn't context switching work? If you introduce a new technology and force them to go to a new URL and change the way they've been doing things for 20 years, they're not going to want to do that new thing. Well, that leads to poor usage, poor adoption, poor retention. Cloud services are important in respect to usage, retention, and adoption, because you're paying for that service. You want the users to use it, so you want to get them to retain. Similarly, we want administrators to have an easy way to implement and manage these services. So that's what these commons are driven across. So commons in respect to Active Directory, we've done work there to facilitate identity, hybrid identity. We wanted to give you a common set of development tools, so we introduced provider-hosted apps that can work across both on-prem and Office 365. We also said we'll take the SharePoint framework and we're going to give it to you on-prem. So we want to give you a common development philosophy. And then on the management side, we really did as much as possible to make management consistent with the way that you would manage SharePoint on-premises, and that would be through Windows PowerShell. So we're introducing more and more commandlets. So when you put all these things together, you get a nice looking slide that looks like this. And that's all I have to say about that slide. So now we're going to get into the meat of content. So why are you in this room and why are you thinking about hybrid? One, you need the flexibility. Two, you may have a significant investment in on-premises customization. And that could be in a number of forms. Either you wrote the customization in-house and you leveraged and instrumented our server OM. which means you're running full trust code, which can't be brought to the cloud. But the thing that you're doing isn't supported with cloud development models. So it could be driving some BPM type scenario, so you need it. The other reason is you purchased a solution from a vendor who doesn't offer an equivalent solution in the cloud. So you've been locked in by the vendor on premises. Or thirdly, you got the solution from a partner and that partner's gone, or it's going to cost too much to take that solution and refactor it to be supported in the cloud, or they're telling you that they can't offer the same capability that you have. You may have a significant footprint in remote locations. Maybe you're in oil and gas and you have a rig somewhere and you're working over satellite. Office 365 doesn't really work really well in those type of scenarios for those users with low bandwidth connections. So you may want to keep on-premises in those remote locations, but leverage Office 365 for the bulk of your organization. Could be regulatory reasons. And the one thing that I always find is most people don't understand what regulations that they need to adhere to. So they download them and find out that it's 48,000 pages that only an attorney can read. Unfortunately, the attorney doesn't want to read it, so you err on the side of caution and say, I'm just going to stay on-prem because I don't even know if I can go to the cloud, and it's too complicated for me to figure out if I can even go there. And then manageability. Many organizations, such as government, are driven by standard operating procedures, and they don't want to deviate from those standard operating procedures.
For nothing.
Yep. And the cloud entails that they would do so. I keep hitting the wrong button.
I know.
Animation. Most of our customers are on the road to the cloud today. Next one. So most of our customers today have a footprint in Office 365. Mr. Rick?
Thanks. Yes.
So they're doing it for one of two reasons. One, you may be looking at a hybrid scenario because you're in the process of migrating to Office 365. You have a sufficiently small enough data set and sufficiently few customizations to where migrating to Office 365 is the most sensible approach to your organization. Hybrid is a connective tissue or fabric that can enable you to live in two places until you have opted to live in one. The other way is maintaining a hybrid model. Perhaps you have no intention of lifting and shifting to Office 365, and most customers don't. Yeah. The cloud isn't a wholesale proposition. You want to move there in piecemeal, in parcel. So you want to move there at a pace that makes sense to you. You want to do the business analysis to identify what content is best suited for Office 365 because you want to optimize the storage that you're buying. So you want to maintain a hybrid model long term. And that maintenance can be, one, I'm just going to take some hybrid workloads. Maybe it's OneDrive for Business. I just need to give my users data mobility. Unfortunately, I'm not giving them data mobility today with OneDrive for Business on-prem because it's based on Groove and it doesn't sync very well. So you're giving your users OneDrive for Business and Office 365, and you're probably doing that because they're abandoning you and they're going to Box, they're going to Dropbox, they're going to Google Drive, and they're signing in with their Twitter or Facebook account. Then they leave the company and there's a ton of data that you don't know where it lives, you don't know how it's secured, and you don't know how to get it back because they own that data as soon as they put it there. So the easiest thing to do is you either keep those users on-prem with OneDrive for Business and you keep them using Groove, which was not designed for data mobility. Groove was initially a peer-to-peer client that allowed you to offline SharePoint content, lists, and documents. And then when you had connectivity again, you could sync your changes back to the server. Now, that type of data mobility is not what users want. They want real-time data mobility, which means much like Box or Dropbox or OneDrive for Business and Office 365, I can have my phone and I can walk from my office to my car into my home and never lose connectivity to the server because I'm either doing it over cellular or I'm doing it over Wi-Fi. The difference is OneDrive for Business on-premises entails that they're connected to the corporate network to use ODB on-premises, which means if they're outside of the corporate network, they need to use VPN or direct access. That's a user action. They don't have the time nor the patience when they get home to fire up VPN or try to connect through direct access or auto VPN, or whatever solution you may be using, to connect to sync, because that's not sync to them. So they feel like sync is broken. They discover something else. So hybrid OneDrive for Business, we'll talk a little bit more about. We'll get you there. So now the landscape of hybrid capabilities that we're going to work across today throughout the remainder of the session, since we've got the upfront conversation wrapped, is the way I like to frame it is hybrid can be a crawl, walk, run scenario. You can do something as simple as enabling app discovery through our hybrid app launcher in SharePoint 2013. We shipped it a couple of CUs ago. Go back and look at the documentation. You can do the app launcher the waffle, the triple hamburger, whatever you like to call it. It's the little menu up in the top left corner. You can use that just to bring hybrid services, Dell, Video, OneDrive for Business, Yammer, into your global nav. Those apps are at the next layer, the apps themselves. So there's a way to discover apps, and then there's the apps themselves. We have a number of different things that you can use. You can use OneDrive for Business, selectively redirect users to cloud. You can use Yammer, embed conversations in SharePoint on-prem. You can use hybrid sites to enable rationalization of site membership and gestures across both on-prem and Office 365. We'll demonstrate some of these concepts here momentarily. Office 365 video, you can use embed services to embed video into your SharePoint on-premises deployment. We'll talk about why you would want to do that when we get to the video portion, and then obviously Delve, which is a great one to think about. Then at the bottom layer, we've got data discovery. We've got hybrid search. We've got three flavors of it, inbound and outbound, both federated models, as well as cloud hybrid search, which unifies your search index in Office 365. We'll be talking about all these in depth. And then we've got two new ones I'm going to talk to you today about that are coming in November. We're going to announce or make available to you, because I guess we just announced it, but we're going to make available to you hybrid taxonomy, managed metadata. Now we'll support hybrid November. We're also going to support hybrid auditing, enabling you to audit user activities across both cloud and on-premises coming in November. So our data discovery layer is where we're at today. We've built app discovery, we've built the apps themselves, and now we're giving you a means to understand how people are using the apps and discover the information that they're creating. So on the planning side, this is what I like to call the identity crisis, and Rick spends a lot of time in this space, is you have a lot of different identity options that you can potentially choose from. You have your cloud identity, easily identified by John Doe at tenant.onmicrosoft.com. It's probably not the same identity that they're using on-prem. So for hybrid, let's take that one out of the picture. You then have a step-up model. Directory and password synchronization via Azure AD Connect is the step-up model. It effectively allows you to replicate the user's username as well as the password hash to Azure AD. We call that same sign-on. And then the last one is federated identity, ADFS. So that's your single sign-on scenario. So there's two SSOs, same sign-on, which means users use the same credentials to authenticate against a resource, single sign-on, they are seamlessly authenticated against that resource and provided permission to it. So if you think about what cloud identity is if you went out today and signed up for Office 365, that first user is going to be a cloud identity. You can create more users with cloud identity, and you can simply do that by importing them through a CSV file. We're not going to talk about cloud identity because it doesn't work in hybrid, because you're not using that identity on-premises. Azure AD Connect takes a form of cloud identity in that the commonality between the two is the fact that there is the authorization component, similar to cloud identity. That identity is used to authorize against all of these different components inside of Office 365. Windows Azure Active Directory is still an important aspect of this identity model, the difference being that you take the user's username, password hash, and you synchronize it to Azure AD to facilitate same sign-on. It's a stepping stone for our next model, which is ADFS. The difference here being, with ADFS, you have federation services across your on-premises organization as well as Office 365 to support a same sign-on scenario. So now we're moving into the workloads very briefly. So one of the most important things that was identified a long time ago by a CloudTrack survey was the most important cloud hybrid scenario was the ability to take workloads and seamlessly shift them between point A and point B. And we started doing that in a number of different ways. First, we looked at what SharePoint search is. We recognized that a hybrid scenario entails that you have two data silos. You have a silo of information on premises, a silo of information in Office 365. You need to be able to rationalize that set of information across the two. And you need to do it in a way where you can do it once, a single pane of glass, a point of visibility into both sets of content. So the way we do that is through hybrid search. It starts with SharePoint on-premises. SharePoint on-prem can crawl a number of different things. This is another reason why you might want to stay on-prem for some workloads. For search, SharePoint on-prem can crawl your file shares. You can use business connectivity services. You can crawl other things within your organization, other SharePoint sites. Now, conversely, SharePoint Online crawls itself, and that's it. You're not crawling your file shares on-prem. You're not crawling your third-party line of business applications. So what hybrid search enables you to do is get all of those results back from both that on-prem implementation as well as that SharePoint Online implementation and return them as a single result set. But it also brings added value in that you get discovery and contextual search, because hybrid search, the way that that implementation works is, moving to the next slide, is we have a new service inside of SharePoint 2016 natively. We backported to SharePoint 2013 called Cloud Hybrid Search. Cloud Hybrid Search crawls your on-premises content just as any other search service application would. It adds a managed property to the content that it discovers. That managed property instructs the crawler to send your data to Office 365 and unify it in the Office 365 index. So effectively what we see happening here is you see the SharePoint crawler, right, which does the crawling content parsing. We have then a content push service, which uses that property to push it in Azure, where the content ID, the parsed content, and the content queues all are. And then ultimately, those all get ingested by the Office 365 search service. Your content remains on premises. Your indexed metadata gets stuck inside of Office 365, the same index that your cloud data is in. Do you want to say anything about
that? Actually, I'm a visual kind of a guy, so I got a little slide that's got all that moving around. So.
Awesome. We'll get to it.
We'll get to it.
The next one we have is business connectivity services. And what that allows you to do is publish on-prem data to the cloud. So hybrid BCS allows you to take on-prem data. It could be SQL data. It could be data you're deriving from JD Edwards, PeopleSoft, a number of different platforms. So all of your federated users using one of the two identity models that we recommend, Azure AD Connect, the DuraSync password sync scenario, or ADFS, your federated users can access the on-prem data within the context of SharePoint Online. It requires a two-way authentication topology, so this is an older hybrid design. One of the most complex of all hybrid designs is this one, and that's why people probably think that hybrid is hard, because they're familiar with these scenarios, and it only connects through a OData source, which effectively means is if your line of business application doesn't support OData, it's not an OData source, you would need to build an OData service head to sit between the service and the on-premises line of business application, effectively a web service that acts as a proxy for that source that doesn't support OData. So
now we get the, for us visual people, cloud. Okay, so cloud hybrid search, as Bill was talking about. Okay, so your index is basically going to be this crawl content that can grab all your stuff from your on-premises, all the stuff that's in Office 365, and it merges it. It's really, really cool. This is my second favorite slide, because it tells you why you want to do cloud hybrid search. For one thing, remember how there was a limit on how many items that were in your index? Removed. Okay, I don't care about how big that index gets. Okay, for one time, we can actually say size doesn't matter. Okay, and our unified search results. Okay, so I search either from Office 365 or on-premises, and it's pulling from the same source. So I'm going to get my unified search results. And I don't have to worry about anything that gets upgraded, because that happens automatically. So I don't have to worry about that. Okay, so looking at it from step by step. Okay, so the first thing is the user is going to enter a query. Okay, so the cloud search service, right, all the crawled content is going to be in there, and it goes and gets pushed to the index. Someone says, hey, I'm looking for this, and the search query is sent to the search index, which is in Office 365, and the results are returned to the user. Now, there is some downsides, right? There are some things that are not supported at this time for cloud hybrid search. A few of them have been deprecated. In other words, we have to do other things in order for those things to work, or you have to use other features in search for Office 365 in order for them to get the same type of result. But custom security trimming, entity extraction, and the enrichment web service and the source are gone. Those no longer exist. The best bets, custom search scopes, and promotion and demotion of search results are now done through the result sources in Office or SharePoint Online.
Let's go ahead and take a quick look at that before we move into our next workload. So in a nutshell, not to overcomplicate what hybrid search is, you can fixate yourself on the architecture of it, but you're really not getting the value of what it is when you do so. Let's just say there's an architecture behind it. It's effectively a black box, but your stuff eventually makes it into Office 365 where it can be surfaced via your search service. So the way hybrid search works inside of 2016 or 2013 is we introduced this thing called a cloud search service application. A cloud search service application is no different than an on-prem search service application. It has some additional instructions that are native to it. So if I click on search service application, this is my local search, so I can click on this little guy, and it'll pop up my search administration. It shows me my policy. Many of you have probably seen this before. So I can see everything regarding search. Now let's go to cloud search service application and look at that one. It's the same thing. The cloud search service application, the search service application, the local versus the hybrid search, don't differentiate from one another except for some internal plumbing that instructs the indexer to push content into Office 365. In being so, the next question is even my metadata is too sensitive for some content to be placed in the Office 365 index, or I'm not sure if this content is allowed to. It's a search service application. When you don't want something crawled, you create some exclusion rules, so you don't crawl it. So you create content sources. It's a search application. So you create a content source that you do want to crawl with the cloud search service application, and you bring that data into Office 365. You leverage local search simultaneously, as in my scenario, to crawl the content that you don't want in Office 365. So you can do it that way. Another way you could do so is you could do a federated search model where the search is federated, your query is federated. And effectively what that means is you execute a search, the query gets sent to point A and point B on-prem and online, and then two sets of results are returned to you in a single interface. Two sets of results in federated search means there's no affinity between those. So there's no relationship between any of those documents, which means refining and relevance is lost. So the new search service, because all the indexes unified in one index, you get one monolithic result set back. If we look at that, let's just go ahead and pop into Office 365. I told you we use a managed property as a identifier. That property is called isExternalContent. Like any other property in search, you can search by property. It's a Boolean value of 1 or 0. When the value is set to 1, that means it was collected by the cloud search service application and the content should be sent to the cloud. When the value is set to 0, that means this content should not be sent to the cloud. It's cloud-only content. So if I go ahead and look at it, I can use it and set that value to true and perform a search. What you're going to see is it's going to return all of my content from on-premises. You know it's on-premises because of the URL. Everything in online is .sharepoint.com. This is .odsp.com.co. My hosted Azure deployment in our Chicago data center with its Croatian domain name because I couldn't secure the .com. So as you can see here, I have Garth's search results. If I want to see the cloud search results, I can set it to false. And now it's just showing me .sharepoint.com. So it's all property-based. So what that means is when I perform a search like SharePoint, just a common term, I should get results from across both cloud and on-premises. Results 1 and 2, cloud search results. Results 3 and 4, on-prem search results. Monolithic entity. It's not two result blocks anymore. Then I can come in and I can further refine these results, and I can treat them as if they were a monolithic entity. So I can click on Garth, and as you can see, I'm refining. So now I've got it down to 1 and 2 being the on-prem, and number 3 being the cloud. So I can actually go in and I can do things like refining. Now the beauty part is because the index is unified in Office 365, guess what else uses that index? Delve and the Office Graph. So not only have I given my users one way to discover content across both cloud and on-premises, I'm also giving them the power of Delve. So I can go into Delve and I can view content across both cloud and on-premises. So here I am in Delve. I'm going to go ahead and click on me, and it's going to show me my data. So let's say see all for Garth. Now, if you look at it, there's one clear way to differentiate what's on-prem versus what's online. Online will have a preview, on-prem won't. So anything that doesn't have a preview associated with it, you can safely say it's an on-premises document. If it does have a preview, then you can safely say it's a cloud document. But I've got all my results across cloud and on-prem in Delve. Now, I can perform a search like SharePoint. And as you can see, in a very similar way, I'm getting things that are more contextually relevant to me. So I performed two searches. I performed a traditional search where I composed a query to return a result set. Now I performed a contextual search that's returning relevant information to me. There's a question over here.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, so the index itself does the index itself does have some storage costs associated with it. Most of the storage costs are covered up front because you subscribe to the service, so you've already got storage. And then as you exceed storage, you can always purchase more storage. Now the beauty part is what we're talking about here too is what you're collecting is the index metadata. So we don't anticipate you consuming terabytes of storage for your search index, largely because we only scrape that first 100K. It does depend on the type of document, at least the item size as it ends up in the index. There's a lot of factors. But you know, it's typically a kilobyte, couple kilobytes. You know, they're not, the metadata is not sufficiently large. Now I showed you that now you can use, with hybrid search, you can use Delve, give your users the power of Delve, give your users the power of unified search, and you can give them one more thing that they didn't have before, the Delve mobile app. Because hybrid search ingests on-prem content, which enables you to use Delve on the web and discover on-prem content, which also means you can use Delve on the phone and discover on-prem content. So the beauty part about it is now they get access to the mobile applications. If you're purely on-prem, you don't have a Delve mobile app. You have very few mobile options. So that's kind of the hybrid search experience in a nutshell. Coming back to the slides, the next scenario that we have is OneDrive for Business. This is the scenario I talked about in the very beginning of the conversation. OneDrive for Business is our answer to data mobility scenarios within Office 365. In the beginning, I talked about how if you don't give your users something to enable them for data mobility, they're going to find something else. When they find something else, you're not going to be able to search it, you're not going to be able to secure it. So through giving them OneDrive for Business and giving them that data mobility, the real-time connectivity versus that intermittent connectivity, you can sufficiently answer that question. You can selectively redirect individuals with OneDrive for Business to Office 365. It's not an all-or-none proposition. Perhaps you're an organization that has a dedicated headquarters, much like Microsoft, where the majority of employees are in Redmond. But you do have consultants, you do have sales, and they need the data mobility. You can selectively give them OneDrive for Business in the cloud, give the on-prem people just OneDrive for Business inside of Office 365. So flipping over before we hit team sites, let's go ahead and take a look at the OneDrive for Business scenario. So I'm still logged in as Garth. You're noticing I'm using the app launcher, Pillar 1, App Discovery. So that gives me unified navigation across both on-prem and online. So I can click on the little SharePoint button here, and it takes me to my SharePoint home, and I can quickly just go back to on-prem. I can do that in a number of different ways. We'll show you some of those here in a moment. But you notice the app launcher is my way of navigating back and forth between on-prem and Office 365. If you weren't in my last session, we can talk about those later and what those are. So here we are inside of on-premises SharePoint. I'm Garth. I'm a remote employee. My organization decided to give me OneDrive for Business and enable me for redirection. So what happens is when I click on the app launcher, the triple hamburger or the waffle, I can click on OneDrive for Business, seamlessly redirects me to Office 365. So now I can move back and forth between Office 365 and on-premises by virtue of that app discovery piece, the waffle up in the menu. Now the beauty part about it is once I give my users OneDrive for Business, I've answered their data mobility concerns and I've given them a big differentiator, Discover. So one of our differentiators is we can leverage the power of the Microsoft Graph within OneDrive for Business to show them relevant items that have either been shared with them or that they've created themselves. So using that same contextual search principle, I can actually, inside of OneDrive for Business, assist people in discovering what's around them. So that's a pretty cool investment in itself that separates it from the other solutions they may or may not have chosen. Now, let's say Alex Darrow is my other user. Alex works at headquarters, and I want Alex to purely remain on premises. So if I come in here and go back, let me just open up a new window. And actually, what I'll do is I'll just do this in a different browser, perhaps. So we're going to do this one in Chrome. Say I'm Alex. So Alex is an individual that I do not want to have to use the cloud because they deal with secret information, or they're working in the headquarters and they don't need it. So I'm going to log in as Alex, do the same thing. You notice Alex's app launcher looks a little bit different. It doesn't have Delve, it doesn't have video, it doesn't have any of those capabilities. Why? Alex isn't configured for hybrid. Alex is not a member of my hybrid group, my hybrid audience. So Alex doesn't get those tiles. So Alex clicks on OneDrive, and I'm just going to have to re-auth in this particular case. So this is all on-prem. It's just redirecting to a different web application. Yes, please save the password. So you notice now, ignore the navigation bar at the very top that says Office 365. Look at the URL. We're still on-prem. The reason you have that navigation bar at the top and the reason OneDrive for Business looks like this, because you're probably on-prem today saying, wait, my on-prem OneDrive doesn't have all of these cool features available to them. It doesn't have tiles. Oops. Let me go back. So you probably think, because I noticed there was some confused faces when people saw what OneDrive for Business looked like. So you don't have this or any of this content. You don't have this information bar. This is all feature pack one capability for SharePoint 2016 that we announced earlier in the week. So what you're seeing here is indicative of what's coming in November to on-prem SharePoint. So here we are in OneDrive for Business for Alex. So Alex is on premises. You can tell by the app launcher, and Alex gets on-prem OneDrive. How do I redirect these individuals? OneDrive for Business is probably one of the easiest workloads. So inside of central administration, I just come in as the IT administrator. I scroll down to Office 365. I say configure hybrid OneDrive in sites. I specify the address of OneDrive in Office 365. I choose the audience I would like to redirect. Basically, you create an audience in the user profile service application. And then I choose the set of features I want to give them. Do I just want OneDrive, or do I want OneDrive in sites? And speaking of sites, let's go back to the PowerPoint presentation and have a look at, did you go far?
I really don't.
Okay. Social. Let's have a look at social first. Social is one of those challenging scenarios because we introduced the SharePoint newsfeed and then almost simultaneously announced our acquisition of Yammer. So created a little bit of confusion. We're starting to get beyond that. But effectively, we did come out and say that the newsfeed isn't something that we are going to actively sustain or innovate upon anymore. While it's not deprecated or made obsolete in 2016, which means it'll likely be in a next-generation server following 2016, the recommended path is Yammer to drive social conversations on-premises. And there's a couple of different ways that you can do so. There's the Yammer web part, and then the other one that we have is Yammer Embed.
I don't know what happened to it.
So looking at Yammer Embed, it's another capability I can leverage. So I'm going to go ahead and be Garth again. So here I am as Garth, and the way I can leverage Yammer Embed is it's an embed scenario. It's really simple. So I'm just going to come. Oh, we're not on there. We didn't get that far. So one of the things that we have here is I am back in as Garth. I'm back on premises. Let's say I'm in sales and marketing as Garth, and I want to introduce social conversations into my sales and marketing site. One of the easiest ways to do so is I can come across and hit the Yammer. There's a video playing in the background. I can come across, hit Yammer, and log in as Garth. So I'm just going to log in as GarthF at odsp.com.co. Or not. So here we are inside of Yammer. So on-premises SharePoint, I want to introduce some social conversations because I want to give that capability to my users. So the quickest thing that I could do to enable that is, this is my sales and marketing site. I can go into Yammer and I can create a marketing group. But the problem I talked about earlier is this idea of context switching. People don't want to have to navigate to a new place to do something that they've always done natively. Through the news feed, they've always had social conversations within the context of the site itself. So they don't want to have to navigate to Yammer in order to have these same social conversations. So what I can do for my marketing team on-prem is create a Yammer group called Marketing. Scroll down to the lower right-hand side. I can choose Embed, and I can actually copy this feed. I can come back to on-premises SharePoint and go to my marketing site. Now that I've copied my embed statement, I can edit the page, choose a location in one or more web part zones. So I'm going to drop it right here, click insert, embed code, paste, insert. And as you can see, there are our conversations right there natively on the page. Now, I just dropped them wherever. You can put them anywhere that you want. You can manipulate them to where they look really nice and they play better with the page. The only constraints you have is the container has to be at least 400 pixels wide. It does support SSO. Basically, you can add the there's an SSO header statement. You set it to true within the context of the embed code, which instructs it to redirect to the provider. All that occurs during the page load. And you can also do group feeds like I did. You can do my feed, and you can do open graph pages. All of those can be components of Yammer embed. And if you look at the Yammer developer documentation, it has all the instructions on how to instrument the embed logic. So here we are on embed, and like I said, I have it right here. It's very simple. I can just drop it right in the page, and I've done this before, so I have a bunch of them. But now I can have those conversations within the page. Some of the constraints are, though, is it's embed. The data source is outside of SharePoint. Conversations are outside of SharePoint. Storage is outside of SharePoint. It's not being crawled or indexed. So you can't search for the Yammer conversations with SharePoint. You have to then go to Yammer if you want to find those Yammer conversations. You also notice what I have on my page here are a bunch of videos. Office 365 video was another scenario in that apps scenario. So we had the app launcher, the thing I've been using to move back and forth. The other thing that we have is the applications themselves. And from applications themselves, what we have here available to us is Office 365 video. Why would you want to do Office 365 video? That might be the question you have. My question would be, why would you want to put video inside of SharePoint on-premises? Because I have seen people upload videos to document libraries. Now, while SharePoint 2016 introduces a cool little option to where you can preview it, no streaming, no encoding, you're not getting much out of doing so, and all you're doing is wasting storage. For some reason, SharePoint has become a dumpster for content versus a collaborative content management tool. How do we see that? We see MP3s, we see ISOs, we see MSIs, we see executables, we see scripts, we see videos, AVI, you name it. It sits inside of SharePoint. Why? People aren't collaborating on that stuff. There's better places for it and technology designed for it. Question over here?
We're getting there.
Yep. Yep. So how does Stream fit in? So if you think about Office 365 video, and let's just pop over there real fast. So again, app launcher, on-prem to cloud. Seamless navigation back and forth. If you think about what Office 365 video represented, it represented a SharePoint facade on an Azure service. By SharePoint facade, what you see here is that facade, this page. This is a SharePoint page driven by the SharePoint engineering team. Everything else, Azure. Backend storage, streaming, everything. Media services in Azure is what's driving that. So effectively, all we were was a facade. Well, as a facade and as owning the service, we had to partner significantly with the Azure team anytime we needed to do something because they're the ones that effectively owned everything that 365 video did. So it made sense to let the Azure team bear the burden of supporting it and ultimately turning it into a broader service beyond just Office 365 as Microsoft Stream. It will still support embed and all of the things that it does today. So you'll be able to embed inside of a SharePoint page. And speaking of which, that's how you can bring video in. So you can maximize your storage. I'll get right to you over here in this corner. I won't forget about you. I'm working my way down the aisle with drinks and coffee. But the one thing that you can do is you can actually select a video. So I can say connecting with videos. Looks like an interesting video. And scroll down. Just like Yammer, I can click embed. Difference being is we give you some options. How big do you want it to be? It'll automatically update the embed code. Or you can manually update the embed code if you have more precise widths and heights. Do you want it to automatically start playing? I can say yes. I can say show the video info as well. And I can say, you know what, resize the player so it fits the screen, so it's responsive. So I can do all of those things, copy my generated embed code. I can then come back a couple of pages and go to my same sales site, click somewhere, insert, embed code, paste. If you noticed, it's going to generate it, put it in a web part, and drop it right there on my page. So there's my video that starts playing automatically. But then it's also instructed to resize to accommodate the size of the page. So you can kind of see it working on its resize as I drag back and forth, because I specified that in the logic. Now, the only thing that video doesn't give you is you can't search it, because it sits inside of Office 365. However, if you implement hybrid search, so think about hybrid search and all the other services. It's like a wine and steak pairing, where hybrid search is your steak, and then all of your apps are your wine. So the thing is it won't crawl it, but you can do a lot with embed. Some of the examples I give is I've embedded a video, I've embedded the video information, it looks really nice. But the other thing that video supports, if we come back, is conversations around the video. So if I come into a video like this vision video and navigate into this guy, and I'm actually going the long way, you'll notice it supports Yammer comments. Well, guess what? What does Yammer support? Yammer supports embed. So if I wanted to, I could come all the way back, and on my same page, what I could do is I could embed the video in one web part zone, and directly beneath it or directly beside it, I can embed the feed associated with that video. So now I have the conversation, video, in a single page. So the users have all the context and they never need to navigate to Office 365. That's the idea of bringing your business to the cloud. One of the other ones we're talking about is this idea of hybrid sites. What is a hybrid site? Well, effectively, when you enable that in OneDrive for Business, what hybrid sites allows you to do is rationalize site gestures across both on-prem and Office 365. So if I click on this little button here, you'll notice what I have available to me are sites across both on-premises, note the URL, and online. So my site gestures are actually coming along with me on the ride. So I can see all of my site memberships and all the follows and the activities that I've been performing, the gestures across both cloud and on-premises. And then, because I've paired it with hybrid search, the wine pairing, I got recommended sites empowered by the Office Graph because I'm doing hybrid search. So now I get recommendations that are powered by intelligence, and I get the ability to rationalize site membership and gestures. So really, as you think about these hybrid scenarios, the important thing to keep in mind is you don't want to do them in isolation. Now, your goal may only be OneDrive for Business, but there's not value in just doing OneDrive for Business because then you can't discover the content. So OneDrive for Business naturally pairs with search. Services such as the embed scenarios, Office 365 video, Yammer embed, those can be done absent hybrid search because we can't crawl them anyway. So that was kind of an example of the sites scenario. It's a pretty simple scenario. Inside of SharePoint, you also have the SharePoint home. The SharePoint home will bring that same information in as well. So inside of SharePoint, inside of SharePoint in Office 365, inside of SharePoint Online or Office 365, we introduced this new SharePoint tile that enables you to take advantage of the SharePoint home versus the old sites page. It works just like the old sites page did. I'll get to your question and then yours. Will Stream be integrated in Delve? Now, unfortunately, that's one that I don't know the answer to. If I were a billable consultant, I would tell you it'll take me 80 hours to get you the answer, and then I would come back and say it depends. or yes, you could probably do that. But I don't know the answer to that one. Because I don't work directly with the Stream team, nor our team in Oslo who owns Delve, I don't know what the roadmap would be for something like that. And you had a question? On the hybrid side, in order for the user to access the Office 365 services, the on-prem user, one, they have to be somehow, some way, shape, or form, be an Azure AD, which means by virtue of Azure AD Connect or ADFS. They also have to be licensed for Office 365 and activated so they can actually authorize against the individual services that exists in the cloud. Now, I think the question that I get a lot, and I'm a licensing neophyte. I didn't even know. I've been with SharePoint for 15 years, and it wasn't until 6 months ago I even knew how you bought SharePoint. I had no idea how much it costs, because that's not what I focus on.
Yelled at by Steve Ballmer. The only time I ever interacted with him, because I said, you have to have a PhD to understand SharePoint licensing. And he said, you mean you don't like it? And I said, no, I think it sucks. And he said, steveb@microsoft.com.
So on the licensing side, there's a couple of things that you can do. If you purchased your licenses in the cloud and then downgraded them via USL to use on-premises, you can buy licenses that way for on-prem. Doesn't answer your cloud story. But you can buy what we call a cloud add-on, which gives you a discounted rate to add the users to Office 365. So there's this concept called a cloud add-on SKU that apparently allows you a discount to bring that to Office 365. So basically, if you have on-prem licenses, regardless of how you acquired them, whether you acquired them as pure on-prem CALs or whether you downgraded via USL, you still need to license the users in the cloud. The easiest way to do that is through the cloud add-on. You're not paying the same license fee twice. There's a substantial difference between the CAL cost on-prem and the cloud add-on SKU cost for your hybrid users. But that's about the most I know about the hybrid licensing model because it's licensing. So if the user, you know, if in the embed scenario, it's going to prompt them to log in, and they're not going to be able to. So that's kind of the Office 365 video scenario, same thing. There's going to be a login prompt. And what it says is log into Office 365 services, and there's a little login button. They'll click that, and they won't be able to
log in with a different account is what it will tell you.
So they don't have that same opportunity. So the other thing that I wanted to show you real quick, since we do have
3 minutes and 5 seconds,
the luxury of a little bit of time, is hybrid auditing is something that I said is coming in November to our customers on premises. And effectively what hybrid auditing does is it takes your audit data from on-prem SharePoint, it pushes it into the Office 365 service, and then it enables you to view that data via the Office 365 Compliance Center. So it gives you insights into user activity that you haven't had in the past with SharePoint on-premises. And I just demonstrated this a little bit in the last session. So I can actually come in and under Search and Investigation in the Protection Center, I can choose an audit log search. I can choose a set of activities and time frame that I want to search for. In my case, I'm just going to search for all activities that have transpired. I'll give it a random time frame, and I'm going to click search. And what it's going to do is it's going to load up all my results. These results are going to be inclusive of actions that users both on-prem and in Office 365 have taken against content or the individual services themselves. So if I come over here, I've got quite a few results. I can work my way down. I can see some Office 365 changes occurring, but I can see Garth here. We've been using Garth a lot. You can see Garth here, access to file. Garth logged in. Scrolling down, we can see that Garth requested a video, that he previewed a file, that Garth accessed a lot more files. And this is across both on-premises and Office 365. So what hybrid auditing does is it takes that audit data from your on-prem SharePoint environment, and much like the search scenario, it pushes it into storage in Office 365, which enables you to use the breadth of these reports to discover what your users are doing. Now, the reason we use Office 365 as the storage container is because we can give you all of these reports, and we can unify it all together, and we can give you new reports over time without having to ship like a service pack or something to on-premises. So you get all these, this activity auditing that you've never had before. That's coming in November as preview before we make it generally available. So basically what preview means is there's no SLA associated with its preview service, but you can sign up for it, and once it's GA, you don't have to do anything else. It just keeps running. Hybrid taxonomy, same concept. You can master your terms. So you can take all of your on-prem terms and replicate them into Office 365, where you can then master them and apply them across content that's cloud and on-premises. Question over here? So since we're just at preview and we just announced this earlier today, we don't have anything on how the storage will work for the auditing piece. But in all likelihood, it will likely be similar to the search storage. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that I don't know the answer to. At the purge rate for Office 365 and the ability to gain visibility into the storage, I don't know the answer to that one. But it's one that I will try to find out. Like I said, it's preview. We don't know all the answers to everything when it comes to that yet. Right now, it's mostly just getting this thing to work. Question over here? For this? Yes, so you can use the Office 365 Activity Management API, and you can perform bulk exports. I believe you're allowed to capture a 12-hour block as an individual export. So you can use the Office 365 Activity Management API, and you can export that data as a big monolithic blob back. So you can definitely do that. So you can extract it. You can extract it out of there. We've had that question before. There was a question somewhere. There it is. So the nothing changes. Search is a little bit different for managed metadata. There's a couple of PowerShell commands that you use to turn on hybrid for your existing MMS service. So it doesn't, you don't have to create a new one. It just leverages your existing one, and you just toggle it on or off. For the hybrid auditing piece, there's not a service application, but there is a service that you need to enable on your servers. So if you go to manage services on server, I'm not over there again. So you'll notice a service called Microsoft SharePoint Insights. You start that service. There's a script that you have to run, a PowerShell script, in order to provision this thing, but it's not until November. And once you've provisioned it, you start the service, and the service you specify the polling interval, how frequently should it send logs to the service. Now, setting all of these up is going to be super easy because inside of Office 365 administration is, let's just go back.
You can show them the setup for the hybrid search.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what he's getting ready to show you has been documented. Actually, a couple times it's been edited, actually. I think the last update was just a week ago on TechNet, so it's real simple. And you can download that at the hybrid search.
So I'll show you one thing. So one of the reasons most people have been a little bit averse to hybrid is, one, the initial hybrid designs entailed some complexity. You had to understand OAuth. You had to understand server-to-server authentication. You had to understand reverse proxies, certificates. The new hybrid designs don't have those same degree of complexity associated with the older ones. To give you an example of which is, let's just go to the admin center real quick. We're already here. I'm going to go down to SharePoint Administration. So this will be important in November for those of you that want to be early adopters of some of the roadmap stuff that I just showed you. So I can come in and go to SharePoint inside of Office 365 Administration. If you were doing this yourself, you would want to do it from one of your front-end web servers. You come down to the bottom left over here, choose Configure Hybrid. Once you've selected the Configure Hybrid button, you choose the service that you would like to implement. So we have one called the Hybrid Picker. Basically, when you run Hybrid Picker, the Hybrid Picker will prompt you for which services you would like to implement. So in our case, we could choose from OneDrive. We could choose from OneDrive and Sites. We could choose the App Launcher piece. We also have Hybrid Auditing and Hybrid SharePoint Taxonomy in my tenancy, obviously, which will be coming to yours in November. So that's how easy it is to set up these days. So I could actually come in and say, I want a hybrid workload. I'm going to click on this button. It's not going to work in my case because I'm not running it from one of my front ends. But I can click on this button, and it's going to give me a scenario. So to modify or enable, so I'm going to start the picker. Once the picker starts, it's actually going to load a small client application. And what that does is it's just a automated configuration of one or more hybrid scenarios. So you install the hybrid picker, and then you just walk through, and you click next, 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 finish. And it sets up all the prerequisites for you. So anything related to OAuth, anything related to the relatively minor infrastructure tasks, the hybrid picker takes care of you. Takes care of that for you now. There was a question way in the back. So are you going to be able to cross-reference lists, libraries from cloud and on-premises in the future? The easy answer to that one is it's not on our roadmap. Now, the longer answer is it's not on our roadmap for one of a couple of reasons. Reason number one could be that it was something that we were thinking about, but we opted to focus on some more targeted scenarios like auditing and taxonomy. That could be reason number one. Reason number two could be is we haven't heard sufficient demand for that scenario. In our particular case, I haven't heard demand for that scenario until you just brought it up. My recommendation for that would be anytime you feel like there's a gap in some of our hybrid designs or you want to see something different, we actually take user voice seriously. You can go to uservoice, all one word, .sharepoint.com, and you could submit a suggestion. We read those suggestions every week. In fact, the feature pack that we shipped early that we announced this week for SharePoint 2016 was all driven by user voice feedback. So we actually looked at that feedback and implemented the things that people wanted. So if there's something like that for hybrid, because I'm not aware of it being on our roadmap, definitely submit that feedback. So there's a couple of calls to action, some key resources to be aware of. Really what you want to do is the conversation that you want to have within your business is not about how do I bring my business to the cloud as a wholesale proposition. It's more about how can I leverage cloud services to supplement or enrich my existing SharePoint deployment, be it video, be it social conversations. It's really about enriching on-prem. So kind of move away from that migration mindset, even though you may be migrating, and think about hybrid as how can I use this fabric to enrich the way that my users are working. There's a cloud migration assessment tool that you can download and play around with. It's not supported. What it is it's more of a business analysis tool to give you some information. You can learn more about our strategy and roadmap at a number of Ignite sessions. There's a nice session on Thursday.
Yeah, there's one on Thursday. Yep. Also, we're giving consultations, booth number 1105, if you have a hybrid strategy question or want to know how to move or have a roadmap. I'll actually be there all the rest of today and actually through the rest of the week. So come by and talk to me.
And then I've got a question. So for us at Microsoft, we opted to take the wholesale approach and just enable it for everybody. But in many organizations, like I said, there may be limiting factors that make you want to have that conversation. One of them could be data security. So let's say the vertical that you're in is life sciences vertical. So you have researchers who produce and work with and handle sensitive information on a day-to-day basis. And again, it comes back to the regulatory compliance thing. Do you understand what regulations that you need to comply with? Probably not. So those researchers that are dealing with sensitive information, keep them on-prem. Now you've probably got individuals who deal with low business impact information, LBI type information, typical collab type scenarios. You may have remote employees, perfect candidate for redirection to cloud. Another one is proximity and availability of the corporate network. The users that are further away from the corporate network, meaning that they don't have a dedicated connection, then those are great candidates for cloud redirection, because then all they need is internet. So I mean, it's usually the way the process that we walk through is, what kind of information are they dealing with? Do they need to be on-prem? Okay, fine, keep them. Let's look at the next set of people and move them to cloud. If you wanted to, just see how much it helps drive or facilitate more collaboration and amongst your users, you could always do the placebo test that we do and create an audience and give half of them OneDrive for Business and Office 365. The other half of the people get it on-prem, and then look at the usage statistics and compare the two, and you'll probably see the people in Office 365 are more satisfied. In the OneDrive for Business case, they're going to be absolutely more satisfied because they get a better sync client and they get real-time connectivity, all-the-time connectivity, versus the on-prem guys who are going to get the old sync client and poor connectivity because they have to constantly try to connect.
And if you do have any regulatory or compliance issues, like I said, come see me, because we do, shameless plug, have a product for that that will help you.
Great. Was there a question over here?
Yeah. I heard rumor that you could potentially at some point crawl cloud content from on-premise to sort of circumvent that regulatory.
We investigated a number of different things with search, but that one's not going to happen. The recommendation we have is if you don't want to do the index unification, but you do want to discover the cloud content, we recommend our outbound search design, the old federated model, to where you execute the query and it goes and gets the results back, because then you're dealing with two indexes. Now the reason is why did we choose to store your index in the cloud and not let the cloud crawl on-prem, or for on-prem to crawl the cloud? Those are security, scale, and resiliency discussions that we had to work our way through. So if we were to allow you to crawl our cloud, we would, one, have to be able to capacity plan for the load that you would induce, which is an unknown to us, so we couldn't adequately plan. The other thing is we would have to punch a number of holes in our firewall to facilitate that. We don't want to do that. You don't want us to do that, right? And then, so we didn't know what those implications would be. And those same ones apply going in the opposite direction. Crawling on-prem from cloud. We don't know how big your environment is, what type of content, and we would have to punch holes for outbound and inbound to get you back and forth, and we didn't want to do that. So we felt the easiest way was to do the unification piece.
I know we're short on time.
Yep.
Would that be feasible for VNet's dedicated clients?
What's that?
Crawling cloud content dedicated clients?
I don't know if DVNext will support that. Design, I think it's going to be a lot of the same conversations, same issues. I know the old dedicated design pre-DBNext was less of a hosted model. It was more of a colo model, where servers were at our data center, but they're effectively, they were effectively isolated. They were connected to your network via MPLS or whatever it was, and we had resource force, and you had a lot more flexibility. The new model takes advantage of a lot of what multi-tenant does, so.
Okay, just curious.
Sure.
One quick question.
Yeah.
With the federated search stuff,
Yeah, so for query federation, federated search, between 2013 and 2016, status quo. We didn't do anything to invest in that design. Most of the, all the investment effort is going into the cloud hybrid search model. Not that I'm aware of. Not for that, not for the federated model. Looking around the room. Yeah.
No,
it's just sending. Yeah, so basically the crawler is going to collect about the first 100K of the document because we need that to be able to deliver rich search results, and that's what goes to the cloud. The document never leaves where it's at.
Right.
It lives in its original home, intact. The only thing that goes is the metadata for that document so you can discover it via search and its associated properties. So question back here. We actually do have a few. Most of the ones that we've seen have been implemented on the customer's behalf by an ISV who has a solution that takes a dependency on it, or by an SI that has come in and done it for them. So we don't have, I would say, direct evidence because those customers have normally gone to an SI or an ISV to do it. I do know if you go to the K2 booth, Fabian Williams used to do a lot of government work in, he does a lot of BCS scenarios.
Yeah.
So he may have a customer reference or not. I'm not aware of any myself that are actually doing the BCS thing. Most of them are using, most of the BCS scenarios that people wanted were SAP based, and we have a gateway for that that we shipped. For sure, yeah. So I think if you were to think about BCS, it's a great piece of technology. It's not going anywhere. But most of our R&D effort is into these gateway scenarios, the pre-built gateway and the connectors. But yeah, unfortunately, I don't have a ton of information on BCS. Question over here at the mic.
That would be you, sir. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so if you're getting back to result blocks, then the hybrid search model sounds like the one that you have, the federated model. Because with the cloud hybrid search model, the newer generation or the next gen hybrid search model, it's a unified index, so you can only get one set of results back. If you're getting two blocks back, then that's a federated model that you're under right now. You need the, I believe we did it in an August public update about a year ago. So the 2015 August PU, it was either August or September, is the one that contains the code necessary to do a hybrid, cloud hybrid search in 2013.
Do a search on cloud hybrid search, it gives you all the power.
You can do that, or visit hybrid.office.com, click on the SharePoint Solutions node, and there's a section for hybrid search. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep.
No.
So what you could do?
Yeah. Only one.
So what you could do is, hybrid's a one-to-one relationship, but what you could do in your case is build a dedicated search farm, unless you already have one, implement cloud hybrid search on that farm, and crawl your other SharePoint farms, and then their content will be included in cloud hybrid search. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you can have multiple cloud hybrid searches, but you can only have one that is pushing your content. So the affinity is one cloud hybrid search to one tenant. But what you could do is you could crawl, set up cloud hybrid search, crawl all your other SharePoint deployments. Question? Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, you won't. See, now that's an interesting one. If your on-prem environment is published to the internet, hopefully not. But if it is, then yes, they can. If it's not, then what happens is they'll get the card, but when they click on it, it's just going to 404 because it's not going to be able to get back, unless of course they're using VPN on their phone, and if they're connected to the corporate network, then they can click on it. It'll take them back. So. The general rule of thumb is, do they have connectivity back to the corporate network? If no, 404. Yeah. It'll surface, it'll show up, but when they click on it, it'll fail unless they connect back. Question right here?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And that? So that's actually a great question. And had we not had a feature pack plan, you would have had me. But since we have a feature pack plan, you don't have me. But basically, what the idea was is feature packs were designed for a number of different purposes. Migration and hybrid was part of that story. Part of that migration and hybrid story is that parity between user experience. So feature packs allow us to bring it back. If you noticed in the demo, the OneDrive experience, there's parity already because it's in feature pack one. The rest of the user experience investments that we've made are going to have to wait until a future feature pack. And the reason is because they're not even done yet in the cloud. So like lists, libraries, some of the new pages, those are all MVPs, minimally viable product. Basically, that's, you know, we deliver it, we accept feedback from you as a customer, and we continue to iterate until we lock it. Well, we can't do that on-prem. We actually have to wait till we lock it in the cloud before we can bring it back to on-prem. So it's not that they're not coming. If they have been locked in Office 365, which means they're golden, and there's time, they would come in Feature Pack 2, which would be second half of 2017, or alternatively beyond that. Oh, so for feature packs, we don't have a cadence, so we're not... we don't have the traditional second Tuesday of even-numbered month, you know, patch Tuesday models. We don't have, you know, every 6 months we'll do one. It's basically when features are code complete in the cloud, can we potentially bring them back to on-premises? At what point does it make sense for us to do so, and then we'll light them up. So we don't really have a cadence. We will have a roadmap, so we're not going to just surprise you when we get there. We'll have a roadmap. Couple questions on this side, and I'll come back to this side. I'm not quite sure what the real-time DLP for OneDrive and SharePoint. I'm not sure. I don't dabble in our security space. The only thing I know, a couple of things. We talked about conditional access is one of the things. Has nothing to do with what you're doing. There are some OneDrive announcements around file security on Monday. If you go to the SharePoint blog, there's a link to a new file security white paper that talks a little bit about DLP roadmap. But honestly, I don't have an answer to that. I'm not aware of any discussions around it. One more right here, and then I'll come to this side.
Did you say notification?
Navigation?
Navigation.
Yeah, so the navigation, that's really where the app launcher comes in. The app launcher is that one unified facility for your users to be able to navigate cloud and on-premises applications. And if you notice throughout the whole demo sequence that I did, the one way I kept shifting back and forth between a cloud resource and an on-prem resource was using my app launcher to go back and forth. And then the other thing that I can do is the app launcher can be customized both on-prem with Feature Pack 1, which you saw today, with the two new tiles, or in the cloud, so I can add additional tiles if I wanted to and point those to any resource, so I can really enable my users to navigate that way in a way that makes sense to them. Yeah, so for global navigation, there's not a whole lot you can do there. There's nothing that unifies the two. You could do extensive customization on both ends to try to map them together in order to get that. You could use, you could plug some in by hitting the plus button and just try to drive your own little navigation, but there's nothing in the works that's going to pull that navigation experience together, traditional nav. We had a question way over here. No. So if you think about Delve and the Office Graph, those are purely Office 365 services, and the ancillary services that they talk to have to be in Office 365 as well. That's why Delve can actually be used as a pane to show on-prem information because it's speaking to the online index. Cloud hybrid search or federated search, you're dealing with two discrete indexes with no affinity between the two. The only thing that you're doing is you're federating and you're returning back results from each. And then you've got your two blocks. But you're talking to two different indexes every time that you search, not one monolithic index, which is the one that Delve happens to work across. So you won't get the benefit of that. So one more down here.
So in the new cloud hybrid search, is there consideration about doing something similar to security trim search or on-prem only? Interface of four
right. Not that I am immediately aware of. I'm sure there's a company, BA Insight, who's probably got a solution for that. There he is.
Yeah. Oh, he's like
Jeff. Jeff Fried with BA Insight. They've actually done a ton of work with cloud hybrid search. So,
thank you very much.
Thanks, everyone. Thank you.